Hey everyone, forgive me for not having had an episode the last couple of weeks. I've been traveling to different events like my friend Aram's The Real Coaches Summit, which was great. And I was speaking at Raise the Bar in Dallas. My friends Nick Lamb and Derek Mendoza do that one. That should be on everybody's radar. And my friend Nick Shaw is here with me. We both spoke at that event, and we're going to jam about that a little bit. But first, I'm your host, Andrew Coates. Almost forgot to say my name. And I'm honored to have you guys here for episode 305. So, as I said, I'm back from travel. And if you're not familiar with Nick, I kind of hope you are. He's the co-founder and CEO of Renaissance Periodization, otherwise known as RP Strength. And those guys are big juggernauts of our space. So welcome back to the show.
Awesome, man. Thanks for having me on. Great to be here.
It's great to have you. So you were killer at Raise the Bar. It was really cool to have you involved in that one. We had a really great time hanging out. You, me, Luca Hosovar, Molly Galbraith, a handful of other people, Kelsey and Dennis Heenan were there with us a lot. Adam Bornstein. It was just a pretty killer event. So, but I mean, that's the next one's going to be a while. So I'll hype that up later on. But your presentation is really cool. You went through a lot of the stuff that you guys have gone through over the years with RP success, all this sort of stuff. And one of the things that you and I have talked about privately, but also you talked about in the presentation. When people start talking about authenticity, it comes off as very cliche, like super, super cliche. Easy thing to say. But you guys actually have a really visceral example of this. And I'll just sort of tee it up. It's like how for a while there, it's almost like you were kind of like trying to filter Dr. Mike Isertel, your partner, right? Like kind of keep him under wraps from just full send on his real personality. And then you kind of decided, wait a second, now we're gonna just take the leash off and just let him go. And what happened?
Yeah, so I guess I very wrongly thought that you don't want to piss people off, right? As a business, whether you're on the left, you're on the right, whether you're into XYZ type of lifting or whatever the hell you're into, right? I always saw myself as sort of like the mediator. It's not my job to piss people off. It's not my job to take wild stances on stuff. I just thought, yeah, I'll just be kind of for everyone. Most notably, I told people I was like Switzerland. Yeah, I don't need to poke buttons. I don't need to, raise all sorts of crazy stuff. And on the surface, it seems logical. Like, okay, yeah, you're a business. You might sell to people, whatever end of the political spectrum, because we're just a fitness company. Don't really need to get into any of that stuff. And I'm not even saying we dive into politics now, but I'm just using that as an example, right? Because you can sell to people on different ends of whatever spectrum you have. So on the surface, it appears to pass the smell test. And then as you kind of dive in, you start learning more marketing and kind of, I don't know, going after specific niches. It becomes more and more clear that probably the best way to sell, the best way to relate to people, is just be who you are. And you have the chance that you're going to piss some people off along the way. And I have a personality where I tend to be like a people pleaser. I like to get along with everyone. I don't like to make enemies. Hey, why would I want to make enemies? But you have to stay true to who you are. And again, you're going to piss off some people. But again, that's going to be the small minority of folks, and sometimes those folks tend to be the vocal minority, and they'll raise the biggest things for a couple seconds, and then they're gone like a flash in the pan kind of thing. And you really just have to stay true to who you are. And when you do that, I think it really shines through because, like for us, Hypertrophy app now, it's not really selling. This is just a tool that I use every single day of my life, every single day that I train. Same with Mike, same with Jared. So it's not really us selling, it's just saying, hey, we've got this badass thing. We love it. We use it every day. For the people that like that, hey, we think you're going to be into it too. And the way we talk and message people, we use humor and we joke around because a lot of educational stuff's really, really dry. But guess what? You got to kind of entertain people to keep them engaged. When you keep them engaged, they're going to probably learn more from you. And guess what? That requires some humor, requires some off-the-wall jokes, requires some self-deprecating humor. Whatever, and not everyone's going to like that. But you know what? There's a ton of people that do like that. And that's what we've seen. That's really been cool. And honestly, man, I'll take that one right on the, that's all mine. I own that one because I thought we were doing right by trying to filter a little bit. And don't get me wrong, Dr. Mike is still filtered a little bit, but much, much, much less so. I've known him for like 17 years. Actually, no joke. I think I started training with him like full time in March of 2007. And here we are 17 years later.
So it's like there's a list of words that you're not allowed to say, basically, right?
Exactly. Mike, you know those handful of words that you know you shouldn't say? Don't say those. Okay. The rest, probably fair game. And like, are there some small repercussions from it? Have we turned off some people? Yeah, sure. I'm sure we have, but it's no longer something that I worry and stress about, which I used to worry and stress about that stuff a lot. Anytime we'd get like any sort of negative comment on social media, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people can relate to this, but because I've seen it even with my wife, she's into interior design now and she's got a little bit of a social media following. And I remember one time, like, someone said something bad about her in like a Facebook group, and like in that circle, right, in that realm, the interior design realm, and she just was like up in arms. She was so upset. And because I'm detached from it, I could see it completely differently. And I was like, doesn't matter. Like, in 6 hours, it's gonna be, maybe 6 hours is a little bit of exaggeration, but 24 hours from now, no one's gonna care about it. It's gonna be gone. It's not even gonna be a thing. So you're better off just basically ignoring it. Maybe one comment to address it, just kind of head on, apologize or whatever. If you did something wrong, I don't even know if she did anything wrong, but again, like, someone just had a bad opinion of her and said something bad, and it wasn't. It probably had like, 5% truth to it, 95% untruth. So it's like, whatever. This stuff's gonna happen. You just roll with it.
And as an example, if anybody wants to see like Mike unfiltered, just go listen to the latest episode of him on Modern Wisdom with Chris Williamson. And like Mike spends half of the time literally making self-deprecating sexual innuendos and almost flirting with Chris. It's really funny just the way he carries on. So like someone could listen to this, and I think there's a way that some people are going to listen to this and get the idea, oh, I should be full send about politics and very extreme political ideological stuff. You guys don't do that. And I think that would be a fucking terrible idea for fitness professionals. And this is a hill to die on for me. And I know people, lots and lots of people, who they're just determined that, oh, you're not being authentic if you are not like expressing your fucking political opinions. I'm like, motherfucker, first of all, I'm not interested in that shit, right? Like, there is no tribe that I belong to. And I basically just don't want to attract the extremes of this stuff. Let's say hypothetically, I was on one side, like fairly extreme on one side of this crap. Cool. First of all, if you engage in that stuff, one, you're going to attract the other extremists who agree with you. And first of all, they're not going to make very good customers. They're just not. So forget that shit. And they're going to be a nightmare. Two, you're going to attract the attention of the other end of the extreme that you're going to piss off. And they are going to be a complete nightmare to deal with. I don't want the stress of dealing with either side. And then three, the moment that you actually have a nuanced opinion that deviates from the tribal like line of all of these approved opinions, then they will eat you alive because they police and they build status by like aggressive policing what people say within the tribe. So that's going to be a complete nightmare. So you'll get canceled within your own tribe. And something I've noticed, if you deal with someone out in the world who seems to share all of the extreme opinions with that particular like social political line, that tells me that person has no individual ability to think for themselves. They've just adopted the approved opinions of that particular tribe. So guess what? As a fitness professional, if you guys like feel like this is an excuse, like a good argument to say, no, I'm going to be like full send on my opinions, all these things, is like, that's going to be a death sentence. Because if you look at our P, you guys are still 95% high quality, high volume, educational evidence-based information dressed up with your personality. That's what we're talking about. And I've seen people kind of think the other way. Well, they're going to brand around the political views or the extreme social ideological views. Like that's activism. You can choose to be an activist within our space, but I don't think that anybody will be taken seriously as a fitness professional if you actually brand around activism. There are some smart and successful people who, across time, have actually been a little bit more forefront with where they stand on, say, a political or social ideological spectrum. But that's still probably 5 to 10% of what they actually do, and they still have a massive body of work. And I think some people make the mistake that they think, well, let's use our friend Molly Galbraith as an example. Molly, iconic figure, very successful. She's a known feminist, and she does have a lot of stuff on her media that speaks to kind of that particular social ideological group. It makes sense. It intersects with what she does, but she's still grounded in evidence-based strength and conditioning, And a lot of resources for women. And that is the overwhelming majority. And then at the same time, she's going to have some things that align. She didn't rise to the prominence in this space because of, you know, the social ideological opinions. So I think she's a good example of someone who's created the platform to be able to express that, very, very similar to the way Mike Isertel is. And she's going to attract the people that she wants to serve. And she'll probably, you know, repel or deflect some people that, well, she's not speaking to anyway. She does it well.
Yeah. So what I hear you saying is you don't necessarily lead with that. Hey, unless you're like into selling political stuff, then hey, that's your thing, right? Like we lean into fitness stuff because that's what we sell. It's you sprinkle it in a little bit here and there, somewhere in like the 1 to 5% of maybe what you do, but it doesn't become your sole identity. Like, hey, you got something you're really, really passionate about. For example, I'm really huge into Michigan football. I mean, I'm wearing a Michigan football shirt right now. Like, dude, there's a lot of people out there that probably don't like Michigan football. I'm not going to not, you know, share that because it's a huge part of who I am. I don't think it's so crazy that I'm going to turn people off though. You know, like Ohio State fans or something like that. Like whatever. I'm happy to take some jokes on. Like, dude, I spent 20 years taking jokes when they kick their asses. But it's like something like that. It doesn't really have anything to do with fitness, but you know, funny enough, like we'll probably end up doing some filming with the folks in Michigan because Mike lives up there and yeah, I'm pretty heavily involved in all that stuff. So I think there's good and bad ways to do it. And, you know, like what's really going to be interesting now, because we got 2024, so another election year. So there's going to be a lot of pressure. I think when stuff gets closer, people are going to feel that draw, like they have to say something. And hey, like if you want to, cool. It just doesn't have to be the main thing that you talk about. You might be able to sprinkle it in a little bit here and there. Yeah, just be careful. And here's the other thing too. I just look around, and we were talking a little bit off air. Man, I just think sometimes people get such big egos on things. It's okay to disagree with people. It doesn't mean you hate them. It doesn't mean they're a bad person. I mean, heck, there's probably, you know, down at Raise the Bar or whatever, like, I'm not going to get into debates about training. I probably don't agree with everyone how they do stuff down there, but I kind of approach it from the mindset of, man, these people are really successful. I wonder if there's some cool stuff that I can learn from them. Like, what are they doing that I'm not doing? Maybe vice versa. Maybe there's a little bit of give, you know, give and take there, but I kind of approach it more of, huh, really successful person. There's probably some cool stuff I can learn from them. Maybe there's some ways that we can collaborate, do something that's more win-win versus I'm not coming in just swinging and saying, oh man, you're the way you train is fucking stupid. That's terrible. I don't like you. You're a bad person. It's like, okay, that's how people think when they're like 21.
You've even got like Mike Isertel on the RP YouTube has been nuts. And we can talk a little bit about that, but he's had people on that he's fundamentally disagreed with.
Yeah.
He's sparred with them in a playful way. He's made them look objectively really stupid to the, of course, that, you know, if you're preaching to the choir who agree with them, they're just going to laugh. And he's had those people understand that, wait a second, there's actually value for that other person to still be platformed in that way. Greg Doucette is the ultimate example. They've done tons of stuff together. And I'll say it on air. Mike generally makes Greg look really fucking stupid. And I mean, Greg could do that to himself. And I rarely say things like that, but that's fine. But Greg understands how his persona and his personality on social media is very polarizing. Again, guy's got a big platform. I don't think he necessarily like grew off of that. You know, he's an IFBB pro, all that. That was that sort of foundation. But he's in that position now where, well, he can full send. But Mike, instead of Mike just saying like, snide things off air and be like, fuck that guy. Mike will be like, okay, cool. Let's get on a video. Let's publish this thing. And everybody watching gets entertained and enjoys it. And I don't get the sense that Greg has ever walked away with hurt feelings. He seems quite pleased to be there, despite the fact that maybe he's just blissfully unaware of the fact that Mike is just dancing circles around him intellectually.
Yeah, that's something I've kind of come to realize a little bit more. That's probably a pretty good example, but like, I want to message Mike because whatever, him and Jared got in a little tiff with someone recently. And I thought about texting him because I've told him before. I was like, hey, man, like, if you got people disagree with you, get them on the channel. Like, sit down and just have a discussion with them. Because guess what? Like, that person's going to benefit from being on a bigger platform or maybe a same size platform, whatever. But like, then people that are watching also gain a lot from it because you can hear sort of a nuanced take like, oh, okay, it's not just the RP way or it's not just X, Y, and Z. It's like, okay, it's fine to, you know, believe and want to train that way for the most part, but there's probably some cool stuff you might be able to learn, sprinkle in here and there. Like, for example, the whole like Team Full-Rom thing pretty much started as a joke. Like, it was just kind of something humorous. Like, yeah, you want to train the full range of motion. Can you have some fun at the expense of that and make some silly t-shirt designs? Like, that's really how it started. And then, people start talking about length and partials and all that. And it's like, well, the moral of the story is, I mean, if you take the stuff that hurts the most when you're lifting, like if you're doing a chest fly or something, you really just want that painful, exaggerated stretch. And like, that's kind of the key takeaway. So there's, you get people on there that don't agree with you 100%, and you probably just some little tidbits to learn from there. You can still probably just train with full range of motion. You want to do some of that stuff here and there to experiment. Like, maybe it'll just get you wicked sore. Awesome. So like, that's the big thing. And I told Mike, I was like, man, let's get these people on. Like, let's not make it a battlefield in the sense of like us versus them. It's like, hey, come on, let's just talk about it. Because if you think about it, YouTube is really kind of like TV. It's entertainment. So get them on. Let's have a friendly discussion. By the way, Mike loves debating. Like, loves it. He lives for it. So it's like, okay, great. Now you're playing to another one of your strengths. Like, just, he had on whatever Eric Helms, and by and large, they're going to agree with most things. It was like, whatever. There's some nuanced discussion around that. He's had on Menno. He's had on, like Milo Wolf, this whole kind of length and partial thing. It's like, cool. Great. Like, now you're just sort of adding to the collective benefit and sort of what people are able to gain from it via watching all that stuff. It's like, hey, like kind of everyone wins.
I'm trying to remember. I didn't know who Milo Wolf was. That's I wish I could remember. Someone was really twisted up that Milo had said something and it got this person twisted. But from what I understand, that Milo is far more evidence-based and credible than whoever was twisted up about whatever Milo was saying. I apologize. I just don't remember what the hell this was about. This was a few months ago. So, but from what I know, Milo's a smart dude.
So real quick, I will say I'm not sure how old he is. I think this is something where, and I've seen it before with other people online, and I was absolutely guilty of this when I was in my early 20s, where if anyone did anything differently than how I did it, they were wrong, they were stupid, I didn't like them. And it's like, okay, that's a young, immature ego person talking. The probably better approach is go, you know what? I'm just gonna sit back, hear what they have to say. I don't have to react super emotionally about it. They might have some good stuff to say. Maybe it'll make me think a little bit. I kind of get to hopefully get a little bit of detached from my own line of thinking because if someone's able to poke some holes in it, I go, all right, well, is what they have to say actually legit? Is it actually valid? Can I learn a little bit from it? Okay, cool. And sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes it's just, but like there's a right and there's a wrong way to go about it. The wrong way is just come in just mud slinging, just name calling, you're stupid, you suck, I fucking hate you, I hate your family. It's just like, okay, what are we learning here? What's anyone getting from this? Nothing. And that goes back to that tribalism stuff you were talking about earlier.
There's an example of this, and I'll share. So it was a while ago. One of my buddies was the target of, there's this tribe of physical therapists and strength coach that they get. I'll speak very plainly here. They get a little pedantic about, kind of the evidence-based stuff, and they like to police what other people say. And usually they're fucking with people like Joel Seedman, like Joel and I have always been fine. We've barely ever interacted. I just know that he's just going to tell people here, just go read my book, right? The whole 90-degree joint angle shit. I'm just like, I don't take that stuff seriously, but like he seems like a nice guy, so I just don't pick on him. Right? I just leave him alone. Enough people fuck with him anyway. And he doesn't seem to care. He's got a big platform. He's doing fine. And so if you're going at that, or like some of the stuff that Stu McGill, continues to hold on to. Stu got a lot of criticism recently for saying something about people past I think it was like the age of 40 or whatever, shouldn't try deadlift PRs, and that got everybody twisted up. And I think there's some like archaic dinosaurish beliefs that are like being held on there, and some of the foundational principles that started out and helped advance our education things haven't held up particularly well to scrutiny. I'm going to side quest all over this, but like you get Lane Norton with like metabolic damage, right? Like he's the one who kind of really popularized that concept. Well, turns out it wasn't really well supported by research or evidence. So Lane has not continued to brand around that particular concept. He's moved off of it, right? I think he's a little bit more bullish about reverse dieting than I think the evidence supports. But Lane's a pretty smart guy, and I think Lane is actually fairly movable with the evidence. Mike Isdell recently, I saw him on the litany of stuff that he puts up on social media. He's in an interview and he's talking about all the principles of stuff that he used to like believe in, and then the evidence says in support of them. So Mike, I find, moves with this stuff. So with this tribe, they usually pick on, they spend a lot of time going after like verifiable charlatans or people who just grift a bit too much. Squat U is another one that tends to say a lot of like dubious stuff out there. Usually picking on that. But every once in a while, they'll get on to a, you know, someone who I think is actually a really caring, well-intentioned evidence-based trade coach, like my buddy Lee Boyce. They went at over something and he posted it. I know that the godfather of this tribe, Adam Meekins, who I like and I get along with super well, went after Eric Cressy over something again. And again, I don't think it was worth messing with. So these guys sometimes get into the weeds and a little bit technical with the research and the PubMed type stuff. But what I ended up getting drawn into this thing. And, you know, my whole thought was I find that some of this stuff descends into bullying a little bit. So I got a little argument with some of them. Some of them came at me about it. There was a couple of ones that I discovered just genuine assholes. So I blocked a couple of these idiots and that was it. But I got in a discussion with one of them. Turned out to be a really great guy. We had a very nuanced ongoing conversation. And what I found is him and a lot of this crew, they're very smart. I've learned a ton. I've gotten access to a lot of really cool information on injury, pain. And so instead of going in and being like, no, fuck all these guys, they're all idiots. Full war. I actually like made friends with a bunch of them. Really good nuanced stuff. And then we kind of realized, wait a second, this guy actually like values evidence and actually agrees with us on almost everything. So it was a genuine asset. And then that's how I came across Meekins. And I thought, find Meekins stuff has pivoted to be really positive and supportive, calls out bad practice in the physical therapy industry. So I've taken a lot of value out of it instead of deciding I'm going to go to war with them. But there are a couple of them that along the way tried to like publicly post me up in their stories and like send people to swarm me. I'm like, no, fuck those guys. And like, they're still in my bad books. Like, I'm not a big fan of a couple of these individuals over like their tactics and the way that they personally seem to behave. Outside of that, the rest of them, really, really cool. But I do find that they like to attack and swarm, and the tribe can get a little bit vicious whenever they call someone out. So it's like, I'm wary about those behaviors too. So I know that was like a big side quest, but, and this exists within the registered dietitian community. We saw that recently with, there was a post about some stuff that was said in a presentation at Real Coach Summit, and there was a whole bunch of shit there. I've seen it in a bunch of different places in our space. And it's like, okay, I'm just not a big fan of that, like tribal, like let's gang up and attack and bully, that sort of stuff. Like if you go to Joey Swole comments and like, you know, Joey posts a video and usually they're pretty good. But you just see like literal incel shit. Just like, you could tell it's bubbling up hatred of women in there. And I was like, fucking hell, man. Like what's going on? So that's where it gets taken too far. Anyway, your thoughts. I ramble.
No, I think that's good. Don't attack. Like, why the fuck are you attacking people? And it's just a big ego thing, man. It's just like, again, I got tagged whatever the other day and I didn't even reply because I'm like, what? Why am I being brought into this? I'm just like, okay. I genuinely don't even know the answer because I don't follow the other person. I don't even know what they have to say. It's just silly, man. Because here's the thing. If you're really big into fitness, there's a good chance that we're going to agree on like 80% of stuff. Okay. So we've got a lot in common. Do we really want to go nitpicking all this little minor stuff? And people love that, right? Like people that follow certain people, they love to get on that. And they'll like tag you and like, what do you think? And it's like, all right, I think this person's a pretty good person and they know a lot of stuff. I don't necessarily agree with this particular thing, but who knows? It could be right. It could be like, I don't know, man. I don't get it, man. People just love to argue. People love to just kind of mudsling and throw shit. It's just so stupid to me.
And I can't count the number of times people I really like a lot post something on social media that I'm like, I think that's a bad take, or I fundamentally disagree with it. And I'm just like, I'm going to move along. I'm literally going to ignore the shit. I'm not interested in arguing with them. I don't want to fight about it. And it doesn't change. It doesn't make me think, oh, this person's now a fucking bad person. It's like, no, I don't care.
Well, just, yeah, so let's go on that one a little bit, because I remember making this comment. I don't know if you were riding with this guy. I think it was Dennis, Kelsey, me, Molly, and Adam Bornstein. We were driving back the one night, and I made the joke, like, just imagine seeing something on social media you don't agree with, and then just, like, not commenting on it. Just not letting it impact your life. not getting your panties all bunched up and all pissed off about it. It's like, imagine what a life that could be. You just see something, because and straight up though, like people listening, they're like, yeah, easier said than done. I hear you 100% on that. I'm guilty of a little bit here and there. I used to be way more guilty of it. Like I said, that shit used to really bother me. Now it just kind of rolls off. I'm like, okay, we reach a lot of people. We can't, 100% of people aren't going to agree with us. Like, if that's the case, probably not doing something all that right, because you want a little bit of that dissent from time to time. But just don't let it get to you. Don't take it personal. Don't take it personal. As hard as that is to comprehend, again, I think a lot of this is like a get a little bit older, you get a little bit more mature. You're like, I just don't want to waste my time online arguing with people, especially trolls and incels. Just like, it's stupid. It's such a waste of time.
Yeah, I don't have the emotional bandwidth to get drawn into these things. And it's like, if anyone's ever had the experience, I've had this where like you end up in some sort of like stupid argument because you reacted instead of responded. There's the mantra, right? And I know Brad Stolberg hit this in his Master Change talk. He does a really good job of like really cementing this basic concept. Like, okay, I like this. And the number of times that in the past that I probably like would react. And then all of a sudden, oh no, now I've made it worse. And now you have this situation where you're like, instead of being able to focus on whatever the fuck's in front of you, like try to be productive, you're thinking about, oh God, has this person responded yet? You know what I do? If I've got someone who like is really genuinely like kind of stupid on a post, I'll just restrict them. I go, boom, restrict that account. Nobody will ever see what they respond to. I won't see it. And all of a sudden, it just makes it go away. And like you said earlier, like if you just, you know what the best thing you can do with most of these people is you ignore them. I've had some of these extremists come at me over literally nothings, but I know the type of person, and they're trying to bait you into a fight so that way you can become the bad guy so they can shame you in front of the tribe. And you know what really works? When you don't respond, you don't give them anything to use, because if you respond or if you react, usually you'll say something that gives them fuel. And I've made that mistake before. And it's caused tons of shit. So I would rather just not worry about it. I don't have the emotional bandwidth for this crap.
Well, so let's take that example, right? Someone comes on and they're trying to stir the pot a little bit, and you take the bait and you respond. I'm sorry, you don't respond, you react. Hey, fuck you, get off my page, something like that, right? You've given them all the ammunition they need, right? They've just now they're gonna essentially call everyone that they know to come to this to see it, because they want the drama, they want the attention. Dude, there's straight up some people out there, a good amount of people, that's literally how they make their calling, their living, how they get the audience, how they get the eyeballs. They got to stir up drama because they don't have any real value to add, so they have to do this stuff, right? And so, like, you've just given them a huge pile of ammunition to come at you. And then what do you have to do? You just start like seeing red, and you kind of double down, and like you're now blinded, right? You're now focused just on that. You can't do anything else. It's all you're thinking about now. Like, what if you just took a step back and you're like, well, one, you're absolutely just ignore it. That's a fantastic way to go about it. Restrict them. I love that one too. Or three, you could just be like, hey, thank you so much for commenting. I think that's a really insightful comment. You don't necessarily agree with it, but it'll definitely give me something to think about more in the future. Like, thanks again.
I've seen Mike respond that way before too, with really crazy people. And it just, it, yeah, it
It
takes like
disarms
a
you.
group.
Like, how can you possibly react back to that when someone's like being nice to you? Because people expect you to be a fucking asshole. That's what they want. They want to bait you into that. So you say something stupid, like you said, so you react. And it's like, it's just, it's that echo chamber. They already think you're a bad person without knowing you. And so they're just trying to push buttons to see what they can get out. Like, whatever, I got a 12 and a 10-year-old, right? So my son and daughter, like, that's how it goes. They want to push buttons. Like, they want to push buttons to piss the other one off. Like, that's how it goes. That's what these people are doing. So you don't give them that. You ignore them, restrict them, or like, guess what? Comment back. Be the bigger person. Be like, hey, thanks so much for your insights. I really appreciate it.
I'll give one final example of like where this shit could go really wrong for the people who just like think they want to take the shortcut of being really polarizing. So same group of physios. One of them, he would go after claims that people made and make memes about them. And like, again, I really like this guy. He's wonderful. But he puts up a meme about some powerlifter who I won't name because I don't know anything about him. And he's like doing some sort of breathing thing. Anyway, so out come the PubMed studies, whatever. They kind of make fun of this guy. So that turns into some conflict. But unfortunately, this powerlifter's some of these powerlifters' followers are the type of people who have neo-Nazi flags hanging in their gyms in the videos of them lifting. And then this guy's all of a sudden getting death threats from those type of people. So that started to stress him out a whole lot. And after that, I think that the memes toned down a little bit going after people because you get you that's kind of I've been threatened. It's rare, but I had one guy who I just another thing is you can kind of make fun of people who come in and say stupid stuff, but then I got some nasty DMs. One dude, I blocked him, but my God, this is the sort of shit I should have reported the FBI for what he was saying in these DMs. And at the moment you're like, oh, okay. But you're like, this is just hollow nonsense. But anyway, so I didn't think too much of it. I'm sure even he's moved on, but you never know what you're dealing with. Okay, moving on. So, well, your presentation at Raise the Bar was a lot of the principles of why RP is where it is, right? And I like use it as an example of, success in the industry, but it's a lot of people could also look at it and be like, well, it's like, how am I supposed to replicate that? Because like you guys literally are this iconic brand. So there are two things that are important to recognize here. A, there is luck. Luck is fundamental to everybody's success in any concept. Right place, right time, et cetera, you name it, right? You and Mike just happen to meet each other, serendipity. But also, there's also a lot of survivorship bias. We don't interview the people who did all of the right things but failed. So how much of that stuff can you look at your story and go, yeah, there's like major points of luck. There's definitely some survivorship bias. We got lucky here. And then within all that, are there any things that you would still turn around and say to young coaches, emerging coaches who want to build something and say, listen, these principles are still really fucking important. This shit works, okay, on average. If you could roll the dice in 100 alternate universes, then 95% of those universes, if you did these things, you would win. It would average. We don't get to do that, right? You can't roll the dice over and over with our lives. But philosophically, I hope most people get what I'm talking about.
A little bit of luck. Yeah, maybe. I mean, we started RP over a decade ago when social media was just kind of starting to take off. So entering the space now would be a lot harder. There's a lot more competition. Absolutely. I remember I've had this conversation with Mike before. I'm like, Mike, do you think we're lucky? And he's like, I don't know, maybe in some regards, but like there's also a lot of things that we could look back to and we could say are unlucky. So to me, those probably cancel out a little bit. If you can be successful for over a decade, man, I'm not sure luck starts to play a smaller and smaller or smaller role in that. If you're just kind of a flash in the pan, I think there's a lot of luck that goes into it. If you're able to have some staying power, I think luck becomes a little bit less important. That being said, absolutely, right place, right time, some things like that absolutely are the case. But also, it's like, was it luck that Mike and I met? I don't know, maybe. We're both into fitness. We were both into lifting. We both went to Michigan. Okay. But also the things that he's good at, I'm not so good at. And the things that I'm good at, he's not so good at. So it was a pretty natural partnership to form there because it was mutually beneficial. So like one of the examples I gave at Raise the Bar was like, think win-win. So you have to sort of develop relationships like that where it's not like, oh, well, I could just do everything myself and I'd be fine. Hey, like word up, that totally you can do that and you can be a solopreneur and there's nothing wrong with that. But if you can meet some of the right people and know what to look for a little bit, or like have some of that synergy, you can probably go further, even though it's a little bit of a hit to your ego to not be sort of the main person. So like that's probably a big one. Try to develop mutually beneficial ways for everybody to succeed. The other one would be, and I think, if you had to replay the universe 100 times, if you keep going with this strategy, you're going to succeed more often than not. It's just the ability to give, and you just give, and give some more. And you just kind of don't really expect a ton in return. The hard part of that is it takes a while. So it's not like this is just hitting gold, striking gold from day one. It takes a lot of time. And then the other thing, too, is right. So how do we actually really define success? Because, well, someone might look at RP and be like, yeah, well, that's really successful. All right. But what if it is a solopreneur and like they don't need a million YouTube subscribers? What if all they need is like 5,000 people on Instagram and they have something that they can sell like high ticket and they've got 10, 20 clients a month and they can make, I don't know, 10, 20K a month? Dude, are you kidding me? Like that's successful. So it's different, you know, it's different like levels. It all kind of, it depends, right? That's the answer to everything at the end of the day. But that is a big factor because you can play this long game and you can give a bunch of value. Like that's a foundational piece to it. But it, to what level and to what degree really depends on what that person wants. Because, you know, you take someone like Harmozy, whatever, like he's spending huge amounts of money creating content, doing all this stuff. Well, someone else can't do that. They have to do their own stuff. They have to outsource a little bit. You're not probably going to have the quality. But again, maybe they get to 5, 10,000 followers. That's all they need to succeed. Again, the foundational piece though is more think win-win, give, 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 give. You're just trying to deliver a bunch of value. You kind of give your best stuff away, and people are going to see that and they're going to go, holy crap, this person's giving all this away for free. This sounds really great. I want to find out more. A little bit of that abundance mindset versus a scarcity mindset. Again, I will rightfully say that I had more of the scarcity mindset earlier on in the early days of RP, which is why, you know, there's a reason that I didn't do this talk until this year. Because for me, it was, I would not have been able to give people enough value in real kind of lessons learned on the business side, because RP was pretty successful all along until we hit a little rough patch, caused a lot of introspection, sort of like, oh, wow, okay, I really have to think about what is going on behind the scenes, what do we need to improve upon, all that. And to then see that little bit of a downturn, course correct, learn, and then see the rise back up gave me much more confidence to be able to come out and say and do some of this stuff. But I would not have been able to do that 2, 3 years ago. I would not have felt comfortable, nor do I think people would have actually learned very much from it.
No, I think that's fair. I do think there's a bit of pressure that comes from two places. One, in the industry, for coaches to want to scale, right? There's a lot of talk about scaling businesses. There's a lot of mentorships, and it's not to demonize the mentorships, because actually, like, I have good relationships with, you know, some of the people behind those things. In fact, a lot of them. But I also think that there's a lot of, like, people, traders are being sold that they need to scale to be successful, and you just already, like, just gave an example of the counterpoint to that. And I like to say, like, you know, I know people who have seven-figure businesses, but they also have seven-figure expenses, and I'm, quote, six figures. And it's funny, I don't know where this originated, but when people describe themselves as six figures, they usually are closer to like the 100,000 than the 900,000 end of things. But the point being is that my margins are extraordinary. Like, I have a really good setup with these, so I probably make more net money than some of the people running around seven-figure businesses who also have seven-figure headaches and when shit breaks, seven-figure stuff. So I honestly think that it's the keep it up with the Joneses, the comparison trap, and a lot of people think, well, this person's doing this. And one of my biggest pet peeves is when you see this marketing. It's like, oh, you know, like, I had a 50,000K month. It's like, okay, well, that's because he sold everything up front, and the next 3 months were like 3K months, or because there's a lot of that shit. So be very careful about seeing this kind of marketing and thinking, all right, this is, you know, this is exactly what's going on all the time. Because there's another thing that goes on in the industry. And my episode with our friend Aram Grigorian a little while back, we talk about this a lot. A lot of people are making a show of doing better than they really are. And that leaves a lot of people feeling like, I'm the only one who's struggling. The last couple of years has been quite challenging. The last several years has been goofy, but, you know, I know that things have been a little tough for a lot of coaches the last year or so. I've talked to a lot of people privately, and they're like, yeah, you know, business is down a bit. I'm like finding it a little bit harder. I've had my ebbs and flows in all of it. And hearing people who are like more visible in the industry say these things, like you guys talking about like hitting rough patches with RP, all of a sudden these coaches who are looking around thinking everybody else is making a big show of how great they're doing on social media, like, you're not isolated or alone in this in any way, shape, or form. Okay.
100%, man. And I think anyone that's only showing the good sides is not being super helpful. And everyone's going to have the ups and downs. And a lot of times you learn more when you hit those rough patches. Like that's how I viewed everything. I just had a really fascinating conversation this morning with I'm in a Visage group, and so my Visage chair and I had our kind of like monthly call. And he was just like, wow, think about where you are now compared to where you were a year ago. And I'm just like, I know. A year ago, it was just like, I'm exaggerating a little bit here, but more of like a survivor, like just survive kind of thing. And that's totally exaggerating it, but like you're gonna hit rough patches. And I'm fully thankful that we hit some of those rough patches because it made me do a lot of thinking, a lot of going, all right, what are we doing? What's going well? What's not working? What do we have to change? And a lot of times it takes that because, like, why would you change a bunch of stuff when things are going well? It's when stuff starts to go not so well that you really got to dig deep and figure stuff out. So for me, like, I don't really even view it as a bad thing anymore, even though I remember last year, like, I fucking remember how bad it was. Just it sort of impacts, like, here I am saying, don't take things personally. Don't take things personally. Are you kidding me? It was the most personal I ever took anything in my life because I had never experienced a rough patch with RP. Like it deeply affected my psychology, it deeply affected everything about me. And I remember saying to myself, or I remember saying to Mike, I'm like, we're gonna figure this out. And then like once we do figure it out, and once things are completely flipped around, man, then I'm gonna have a cool story to tell.
And you do. Before I got one more question, but before anybody, before we cut off here, also you were just on Luca Hocevar's podcast too. So if everybody wants to go and check out more of, the stuff that you're talking about, and that's a very different interview than this conversation, which I actually was very deliberate about because I just listened to probably about half of it before I got on here. So go check out Luca's Bigger Life podcast and Nick's.
Luca's great, man.
Luca's great. He's
By
been.
the way, I love Luca, man. He brings it. He's got this energy. He's like this just hustler, man. Like I listened to his talk at Raise the Bar. Dude, I was like so fired up from it. Like I'm writing down notes of books that he's recommending in his talk. Like I immediately got them, immediately went home. Actually, no, sitting there, I Amazoned them. So by the time I got home, they were basically there for me, read them all that next week. And I'm like, texting them little things here and there. I'm texting you little stuff. But it's like for me, the big thing was I read Who Not How, one of the books he recommended. And dude, I immediately started implementing some stuff. Like I was like, why am I trying to do all this social stuff myself on my page? So I hit up someone that I knew and I was like, hey man, you guys are helping me with this stuff. It's great to read, but then also you got to start applying some of that stuff. Even if it's not a ton of stuff, but just try to take like one little thing from each book, each podcast you listen to, right? Just grab one little nugget from it. If you can start implementing that right away, like, whew, that's great.
It can be really easy to get caught in this consumption trap where you feel like you're being really productive, but what you're doing is you're procrastinating in a really emotionally soothing way. I've got a whole arc. If anybody wants to read it, like message me. I got an article on this on my website. It's fucking good. But yeah, like it's a lot of people get caught in that trap. And honestly, we all do to a certain extent, right? Luke is just this maniac that both consumes what seems like an inhuman amount of knowledge and turns around and applies it. But he's the sort of guy who like he'll go to a seminar, learn some movement stuff, and then he'll like turn around and he'll film a video on it and explain it. So the way he's, it's a really effective way to actually drill in and learn these things. And it's also how he's so prolific when it comes to a lot of the content creation stuff he does. Like you follow his social media, you watch his story. His story is like both inspiring but exhausting just to see the shit he's doing. But like I know what goes on underneath, and I swear there's like he's doing more than he like shows. Don't know how he pulls it off, but anyway, the guy's a maniac. And he's working on sleeping more too. Like there was a time where he wasn't sleeping as much, which explains part of it. But anyway, and I'll be at his Vigor Ground Fitness and Business Summit in October. And he's gonna be speaking at my conference in September as well, which we're gonna start announcing soon. But okay, one more thing. I've given you the gears over this one. This has been fun, but you are allergic to self-promotion and have been for a while. So it's been fun to kind of push the buttons on that. And I'm like in my presentation, I shouted you guys out a whole bunch and you laughed because it seemed like, I was your biggest hype man. But have you been able to kind of move along that spectrum where you've gotten more comfortable leaning into, a brand authority, a leadership figure, a thought leader in the industry? I mean, I think you're comfortable sitting in Mike Isertel's broad-shouldered shadow. In terms of his personality as the flagship face of RP. But you've also been making more of an effort to lean into speaking opportunities, getting on the podcasts, and embracing those opportunities. So where are you now with that process?
Yeah. It's this weird conundrum that I have. So I hate talking about myself. I really do. But at the same time, I start to, I don't want to say out of necessity, but I used to have to do like everything at RP early on. And as my role has evolved over time, when we've got like just phenomenal, great people at RP that can do a lot more of it, it sort of shifts my burden and responsibility to be a bit more outward facing and do more PR, do more interviews, do more networking and all that stuff, which is great, man. Like I had a freaking blast down to Raise the Bar chatting with everyone, and that sort of opened my eyes as to like, yeah, I should probably be doing a bit more of this stuff and getting out there and talking with other people in the industry. And it goes back to just trying to learn, right? Like, dude, like your talk was great. I'm making notes during other people's talks, so it's like, why would you want to go to one of these events and not try to learn from all these other people? Because all these different people have different experiences. Like Luca runs a gym. You know, he does all this stuff and it's totally different than what I do. He does commercial real estate. I know nothing about that stuff. So like I'm just kind of picking his brain on some of that. Like, hey, how does all this work? You know, like different things like that. And so I'm actually in May, I'm gonna be out there. We're gonna do a little like charity seminar. And you know, that's gonna be great. But it's like, dude, how valuable is that? Like for me, I get to go to Seattle. I've never been there before. I get to see a couple of buddies I went to college with. Man, sorry, I'll get back on track. Here's a long-winded way
No,
of
this
saying
is
it, but
good.
over time, I'm slowly getting more and more comfortable with it because it's like one of those things when you are uncomfortable, you tend to lean away from it and you can very easily convince yourself and rationalize that you don't need to do stuff. But usually when you're not super comfortable with stuff, that's usually where you want to lean towards. So for me, yeah, man, it's great to get out there because I really do like talking about all this stuff. I really, really do. I mean, I just find it so fascinating. And I just remember, like I said before, a year ago, I just thinking, I'm like, somehow, some way, I'm gonna learn. We're gonna do some shit. We're gonna overcome. We're gonna get through this. And like, then there's gonna be a cool story to tell. So now here I am. I'm trying to be more true to that and be like, all right, let's lean into that. I set it as a goal to get out there and do one of these business keynote talks. And you know, honestly, like a couple of weeks later, you text me and you're like, hey, you should talk with the Raise the Bar guys. And like, it was set up. So it's really just funny how
Oh,
some of that stuff works.
like people who know understand, but like you see one thing on social media when it comes to supporting people is a whole nother level of stuff what I'm working on behind the scenes. Because I'll
Totally.
give everybody listening an example. So after Raise the Bar, you start asking me, okay, I want to go to more of these events. What else is going on this year? And so we talk about the Luca's event, which is October 10th through 12th, which
Yes,
unfortunately happens to be this.
Olympia weekend.
It's Olympia weekend. It's the only weekend he could get the venue, so that didn't work. And so I riff off on a couple of things. I'm like, oh yeah, and there's CanFit Pro in Toronto, right? Which I just didn't think that would be appeal to you. You're like, hey, I think I'd like to check out this CanFit Pro thing. Now, so happens that one of the key figures within that was actually at the event. You know him, Eric Wong Kai Pun. And so anyway, and of course, me and Luke are speaking that thing. So I sent a quick group message to Eric, like, hey, Nick expressed interest in attending this event. But I turn around and send him a private message going, hey, Eric, Nick is like, wants to come up and attend this thing. Like, get him in the lineup, okay? Right? And he's already just seen your talk there. So what do I get? Like 2 days later, you send me a screenshot of an email from the woman, Mary, who's unbelievable. Like, the stuff
Great.
she does behind the scenes at CanFit Pro, holy shit, she's cool. Just such a professional job. And so sends you an email saying that me and Eric had raved about your talk and that they had a speaking slot for you, right? So is that confirmed? Is that set?
Yeah, I'll be up there.
Good.
In
Awesome. So
August, yep.
yeah, so that's early August. I mean, I'll post all over my media. So you, me, Luca, pretty sure Lee Boyce is involved. I know Melody Schoenfeld's going to be back. They'll have a killer thing. So if anybody's in the Toronto area, in I think it's like this, fuck, it's like, I swear it's like August 9th and 10th or something like that. It's somewhere around
Yeah,
there.
early August. Yeah.
Early August. So keep your eyes on that. But honestly, it was a really fun time where a lot of us were there last year. So come and you get to literally come and hang out, meet Nick, listen to him talk. You'll see me, you'll see Luca, et cetera, et cetera. There's going to be a really cool lineup for that one. So that's like, I knew that that was the right opportunity. And I knew that because of what you'd accomplished, you would have a lot of authority and credibility as a legit person in that event. And we'd be a really big asset to it. Like, that's the thing that people don't get. It's like, build, 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 build. Put yourself in a position where People are literally like creating room for you in events and opportunities, right? You got in Raise the Bar because, I made sure that Nick and Derek knew about you, but I also invited you down to the previous year and you showed up. You came to attend and hang out. You actually made that effort and then built a relationship over the time. And then a speaker had to drop out. Cool. Then the boys turn around and they popped you in the lineup and you were a great fit for it, right? My first speaking opportunity ever was, and some of my earlier ones that were really good were all replacements for someone who had to drop out of the lineup, right? Strike when the opportunity is there.
Maybe that goes back to a little bit of the luck conversation we had earlier. You never know. But so you said something also that's incredibly, incredibly important that has to be said. You don't dive in looking for that stuff day one. Like, if someone would ask me to come speak on business like 3, 4 years ago, I'd have been like, what specifically do you want me to talk on? Maybe something specific, maybe. But you don't focus on that. You just hopefully do some cool shit, help a ton of people, and then eventually, years later, here we are 10, 11 years later, I'm like, hey, maybe now I have something to offer. But you don't start that way. You don't start that with that. You don't do that a year later. You don't do that probably even a couple years later, to varying degrees. Maybe the speaking thing is you go and do a talk to 5 or 10 people at a local company about something fitness related. But like there's levels to it, and you start and then you just kind of slowly build and build and build. But what's the key there? Build, 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 build. Sounds a lot like give, 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 give.
To your point there. So one thing I've definitely noticed is a lot of people who want to stand on those stages and become the speakers in the industry. I'm gonna give you a little secret. You know what's a way better thing that will serve your business a whole hell of a lot better is what you just said. Get in front of local companies, corporate wellness speaking stuff. A, it pays fucking way better. You don't have to travel for it. And it gets you in front of people who actually might hire you as clients. It's a phenomenon.
One other thing. So, if they pay you, oh, shit, awesome,
Do it for
amazing.
free.
Do it for free.
Do it for free. Yep.
Do it for free, especially if it's local.
Volunteer. Honestly, it's a good way for new coaches to get a foothold in an area. Just hit up the businesses locally. I mean, you're going to get a lot of no's, maybe some doors slamming in your face, metaphorically. God, hopefully not literally. But there's going to be someone who says yes. And if you persevere on this, you can also, there's a great book on this called Authority Content, really easy read. And it just talks about how to set these sort of things up. But then you also like just film them. So if you film them, you have really good content that you can then use for your other media, and it displays the fact you're doing this stuff, which can open more doors. And when coaches are really like begging me to come speak at my event, or really wanting those doors, probably before they're actually ready, or before maybe they put themselves in a position to earn it, which is true, then what I know is going on is they're seeking status because they think if they get in that event and on that lineup, it's going to like elevate them, and it's going to mean that clients will show up your door. Like, listen, us speaking at these events doesn't put clients in our businesses. It doesn't, unless you're literally offering something to coaches and then they turn around and they hire you as their mentor. Sure, okay, there's some of that for sure, but most of us aren't doing that kind of stuff. So really, are these events great? Yeah, it feels good. It's great to go hang out with your friends. It's nice to get like that recognition from other people in the industry. But as a purely like, hey, I want to build my business and I want to make sure I can pay my mortgage and all this sort of stuff, local volunteer first, but corporate wellness speaking stuff, that stuff's money. And I know coaches that most people have never even heard of who kill at that on a local level. And it's a great funnel into their business for paying good paying clients. So that's where I think most people should put in their efforts, not trying to curry the favor of the event organizers. Now, if you want to get in these events anyway, you know what? Still go show up at these events, be engaged, be immersed, be a great ambassador to it. And that's something I just do because I like it. But then when people see that, they're like, listen, we need to have you here next year, right? They see that I've sold them tickets. I'm like attending, but I'm telling other people about the shit. And I'm putting butts in seats for them. It's like, well, what would you do if you're actually speaking at this thing? Cool. Just prove yourself.
Someone wanted to speak at an event that someone was hosting. You can pitch yourself straight up day one. That's one way to go about it. Probably not going to be very successful with it. Go show up. Pay your own money to go. Invest in it. Yeah, like you said, promote it a little bit. Man, you turn around the year after, then you're like, hey, I attended this. Hey, I thought like this talk was really great. I thought this one was really cool. I've just been thinking, hey, I've got I've been kicking around an idea of a talk on X, Y, and Z. I think it might add some value to your conference. After you've already showed up, you've put your face. What do you think your odds are of landing that versus the cold reach? Hey, have me speak your thing. Like, come on, man. There's different levels.
Different years that I've had my event, I've had people where the first interaction we've ever had, and even not like Facebook friends, just like people add you and they're in the industry, you've never talked to them before. First interaction is, hey, I see you're hosting an event. Do you need a speaker? Do you know how like that basically puts you on a list of people I will never in a million years put in my event? If that's the first opportunity we've interacted. That's sort of a pet peeve of mine, but I mean, we're getting lost in the weeds here on this one. Everybody listening, guys, thank you so much for being here. Again, I know I've had a little trouble being consistent week to week with these things. I've been juggling so much; the travel's been a lot. I just want to make sure that I'm just not like randomly recording episodes just for the sake of recording it. I want to make sure that they're great interviews with great people that you guys are excited about or people I want to introduce you to. So I hope you'll go and follow Nick Shaw on your Instagram. What is your Instagram handle?
At nick.shaw.rp.
Cool. There you go. And follow RP Strength as well while you're at it. Dig into their resources if you're not already. They've been one of my gold standards for a really long time. I've got some of your guys' books on my shelf. I've done your nutrition certification, which is now folded into what's next for the RP educational stuff.
Yeah, so right now it's probably going to become RPU, probably going to be later this year. No set date on that. Probably going to morph Team Full Ram into that.
Good. So keep your eyes on that, everybody, because these guys are gods when it comes to evidence-based educational stuff. The YouTube channel is killing it. 1.3 million followers already at 1.4 yet, or what? 1.5?
1.41.
1.41, right? Just growing at 100,000 a month, is it been lately, or something like
More than
that,
that. More than
which is
that.
crazy, which is nuts. But you guys are doing a lot of smart stuff, right? And one note that I forgot, you were talking about, you and me and Luca hanging out at the gym. You and Luca were talking about like some of like the tactical stuff when it came to YouTube. You're talking about like the metrics and the analytics of this stuff. So you get in those kind of rooms and you guys learned a lot of stuff from your relationship with Chris Williamson at Modern Wisdom, right? So
Tons. Super, super grateful for him.
get in these rooms, spend time around these people, make it about them, support other people, show up. I just did this stuff for years because it makes me feel good. I enjoy it. And then people start throwing opportunities at me that I couldn't even believe. Part of which is luck, but part of which is, you know what? You put yourself in
I
a
would disagree, man. I don't think that's any luck. If you go out and you do these things for years and years and you show up and you support other people, just because, like, dude, so here's something I've been thinking a lot about is, you said it makes you feel good. So technically it's a selfish thing that you're doing because it
Yeah.
makes you feel good, which like there's nothing wrong with that, but you're also helping a shitload of other people. And then I don't call that luck at all because it's like that's just what karma, good juju, the principle of reciprocity, of course. You give, 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 eventually stuff's gonna come back to you.
That's
That's
what all
just
these.
kind of how the world works if you're around the right people.
That's what these wooey books like The Secret and what's the other one? There's another one that's the same thing. Anyway. It's the law of attraction, basically. It's like, yeah, it's a real thing. You just have to apply it consistently over a long period of time without expectation, a specific expectation return of, a result based on every single individual action. You just, over the long run, just keep doing good stuff for other people. You keep showing up. And as a result of enough opportunities and exposure points and relationships, then just good stuff comes back at you. And if people see that you're genuinely interested in them and genuinely willing to support them. Guess what? Cool stuff comes back. And you guys are a great example of this. I have been a flag waving RP supporter for a very long time. I happened to attend an event that Mike spoke at here in Edmonton 2017. I had him on Facebook before that. And then, the team minus you showed up in Calgary in 2018 and 2019. Again, hung out with the team, got to know James and Mel and along the way, and then just engage with you guys through social media and got to know Crystal. And then I had Crystal speak at my event last year, and she was amazing. But you had invited me down to, well, you guys did a couple of things. One is you guys reached out to me to beta test the nutrition cert, which was a really cool opportunity. Mike's been on my podcast a bunch of times. And actually, having a relationship with Mike early on was one of the episodes that kind of blew up mine and Guido's old version of this podcast. And it was a crazy downloaded episode before like everybody had a bloody podcast. And so that was useful. And then when I started getting serious about posting on Instagram, then Mike was already following me because we knew each other. So Mike turned around and starts resharing, like reposting a lot of my posts to his wall and tagging me, which drove thousands of followers my way in the first year, which sort of seeded the initial growth, which helped accelerate it. So that was huge. And then you invited me to come down and hang out at the Olympia for your RP summit that you had there, which is where I saw Crystal. I realized Crystal's great. Got to have her in my event. And that's when you and I actually, like, you were on my podcast, but we actually got to meet in person for the first time. And then that's what led to also getting you at Raise the Bar and all this other sort of stuff. So it's just, it's that showing up. So is there luck in place? Yeah. Like, I mean, ultimately I do think like luck is something, but you're right. It's, you magnify luck by simply just consistently taking positive action, putting yourself in those positions to put yourself in a position to benefit from luck, whether it's being in the room or developing the skills. I'll give you another example, because this is really valid. So I got invited to write for T Nation over 5 years ago. That was a big bloody deal to me, right? But one is because we had Danny Sugar, one of the editors. I've been reading Danny's stuff for forever. Had her on the podcast. Danny was amazing. But a year prior, I had started writing for my website. One of my best friends built me a website so I could write. And so I started writing articles for that website. They got a little bit of attention on the old Personal Trainer Development Center, John Goodman's page, best articles of the week, this sort of thing, right? So that helped. But then because Danny was like excited for this podcast to invite, she started listening to the podcast, she checked out my meeting, she saw I wrote. Then she turned around and invited me to come write for T Nation, and that changed everything, right? That was the first thing. And then after that, I've got Generation Iron in my inbox emailing me, coming, hey, you know, we've seen your stuff, we'd like you to write for us. And getting those two under my belt created the opening to write for Muscle Fitness, Men's Health, et cetera, et cetera. I got a new one coming up really soon that hopefully I'll debut next month. And is there a lot of luck in there? Well, yeah, but it's that showing up and doing the skills and putting yourself in a position to benefit from that luck when it happens. So that's my thoughts on that, my comfort zone about that.
I'll say luck.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Good. Agreed. 100%, man.
All right. Anything else you guys got coming up that you want to share? You're going to be in Seattle in May at Vigor Ground. When's that?
The weekend of May 19th, I believe. The weekend before is Mother's Day, so it wouldn't really make a lot of sense. just keep making the apps better. That's the goal in 2024, and capitalize on all the YouTube success. And go check out the YouTube channel. There's tons and tons and tons of great educational content there. Basically get college level education for free.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks again. I appreciate having you on. And then at the very least, I will be seeing you in Toronto for CanFit Pro, the global trade show and conference. And if anybody's interested in that, just shoot me a message and I'll get you some more details. Nick, thank you so much.
Awesome. Thanks, man.